And then I went with him to the sauna, and we were in there, and some guy just literally walked in and said, "Hey guys, what do you take?" Because it was me and Jay, both lean Cali guys, and yeah. He came in with these, you know, bodybuilder style, and we were just like, what?
Yo gorillas, welcome to the Athletes Insider podcast by Garnation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is the real life Super Saiyan, an extremely special, strong, ripped athlete, and I'm really happy to welcome you to the show, Mike Smart.
How you doing, guys? What's up, Phil?
Yeah, thanks that you took the time. Already since we started this series, there were some people asking for you. And what was quite funny for me was when I asked you, yeah, can we do an interview? Are you up for an interview? You were like, I'm not like the other athletes. I don't know why you why you want to do the interview. What was it that about?
Well, basically, it's more to do with, like, when I looked at the athletes that were being interviewed, and if you look at, you know, Cali athletes in themselves, they all tend to have like a title, or they've managed to compete in some way, or, you know, release some kind of training program or something like that. That's kind of the only reason why I was kind of like, okay, I'm not a competing athlete, but sure. Yeah.
Okay, so you, like, if you present yourself, you're not a professional athlete or like competitive athlete, let's call it like this maybe.
Yeah.
How do you present yourself to somebody who doesn't know you?
Well, I kind of like doing the old school way of not really saying who I am or what I am when I introduce myself, because it tends to make people think certain things, assume certain things. And yeah, it's kind of like, if I was to then say, I'm a non-professional athlete that works off of social media, and I kind of look like an anime character. It's kind of hard to explain that to people. So I just introduce myself as it is. And then if they want to know more about me, they ask questions. But to everyone, I'm just Mike Smart.
Okay, good. Nice. Yeah. And so your full name, I guess, is Michael Smart, right?
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. A lot of people don't actually know that. They just immediately Mike the Saiyan.
Yeah. Like, because I thought for a long time that you're like a Spanish guy. I didn't know about your, you're like, you have these English skills. And if I listen to your accent, like you talk in English, that's like, I directly know that you're not Spanish. And
so it's actually, like, confusing to some people. I've done, do you know Norden?
Yeah.
Norden from, yeah. I've done videos with him, and in those videos, obviously he's got a Spanish audience. I've spoken Spanish.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of debate in the conversation in the comments where I was from, which was kind of fun.
So you said you're living in Spain for 18 years now?
Roughly, around about 18 years. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I'd say something like that.
And let's kick off with the hard facts. People always ask that, how old are you?
Yeah, okay. I'm 29. And I'm guessing the next one's going to be over my height and weight, right?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. You know it.
Well, I mean, I've just recently found out from a friend of mine in Italy that I'm tall for a Cali dude. Anyways, I'm 6 foot and I weigh about 73 kilos. Sometimes I drop, sometimes I gain 1 or 2 kilos, but I stay around there.
Okay. And do you know the centimeters of 6 foot?
Oh, I think it's 180, 181.
Okay. Yeah, that's
which, from what I've been told, is not common. Okay.
6 foot in centimeters, just to make sure. Yeah, 182, 183 even.
Okay, so I'm just 1 centimeter short of 6 foot. There you go.
Okay.
Which is annoying, actually. Now that you say that, it's annoying.
Yeah, but still, like, for calisthenics athletes, that's, I would say, at least above average. It's not...
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Weight-wise, I would say no. Weight-wise, there are some pretty heavy boys out there.
Yeah. Especially for reps and statics. You do mainly. What's your body fat percentage? That's the last question that people ask.
If I told you, I don't know exactly, but I can guess it's from 8 to 10. Okay. It's actually more accurately would be 7 to 10, because that gives a little bit more margin of error. But Yeah, it's about 7 to 10% all year round. And the more I train, the lower it gets. The more time I take off and the more I relax, the higher it gets. It's pretty obvious.
Okay.
But okay. I never let it go too far.
Okay. And yeah, let's get back to the question, where you born? Like what's your country of origin?
All right, I gotta take a deep breath for this one. So I was born in Singapore.
Wow.
Yeah, I was born in Singapore. I lived there for 6 years. So at the age of six, I moved to the UK and then lived there for 3 years. And then I moved over to Spain.
Okay. And your accent comes, what is it? Is it you? Is it English, British?
I think it's neutral. Okay. At this point, it's neutral. It's my mom's American and my dad's English, so I've got like weird mixture of the two of them.
Okay.
But it's cool. I don't like having one accent, like, oh, English accent, oh, this accent. I kind of like confusing people with that.
Okay. Get it. Okay. And yeah, we're here in a calisthenics podcast. Like the question to kick off with your story, with your personality, et cetera. How did you get in touch with calisthenics, with street workout?
Actually, I'd been training for a very long time prior to street workout. Previously, I was playing rugby up until 19 years old. I took it quite seriously. Then due to injuries, I had to stop. In that period of time, I was due to injuries, I got told because it was my first hernia, I have to stop or I can end up in a wheelchair. So I decided to do something a little bit less impactful. Mm-hmm. I went into more bodybuilding style training, but that was boring to me. And so I started doing muscle ups in a park because I saw it in some CrossFit videos and I thought that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to figure that out and I couldn't figure it out. But then the translation of skills kind of clicked from hand cleans to muscle ups. It's the same kind of motion, just in reverse. Mm-hmm. I tried it out and then the drug of the euphoria of getting your first move unlocked, that was like the beginning of Cali for me.
Okay, and that was what year?
Oh, that was like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Okay, so it would have been when I quit rugby, around 9 years ago, 2021, 2019, 2020.
Okay, wow. So muscle up was the move that got you out of the gym,
it was the move that put me into a park, and I had no idea what street workout was when I did that, because even when I got asked, hey, do you do street workout, I was like, yeah, I train in the streets. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know what they were talking about. Like street workout is, you mean training in the streets? Yeah, there's bars out here too. But then I got into the community and it was a game changer.
Okay, and you call it a street workout because in Spain the calistenia is
I think it's because in Spanish there isn't really a direct translation for mm-hmm. street workout. Like it would literally be training in the streets, so they just stick with calisthenics.
Okay,
that's, yeah, they generalize all of it into just calisthenia.
Okay. Get it. And yeah, after the muscle up, what was the move or the goals that kept you going?
The one move that took, believe it or not, like a year for me to get was the handstand push-up. That was my next big goal, was the handstand push-up. I just love that move. I really wanted to do it. And that took a long time because it was first getting the handstand, then it was learning how to control balance, this, that, the other. But after the muscle up, it was definitely the handstand push-up. That was like the next strength move that I wanted to unlock.
Okay, and did you have problems with balance first, or was the handstand itself easy for you?
I mean, I had a lot of foundation work laid out from when I played rugby. Mm-hmm. So one thing about my rugby training was that I always prioritized shoulder strength over chest strength, because mm-hmm. in the sport, you don't really need much chest strength, but you do need a lot of shoulder strength. So I was doing a lot of military presses. Mm-hmm. So when it came to the strength aspect, I didn't have any problems But when it came to balance, yes. it's completely different when you have to figure out how to balance with no reference to gymnastics at all.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of self-teaching, recording, watching it, comparing. That was basically the process of how it went down.
Okay. So because we received a lot of questions about your handstand skills, because it seems to impress the people. And if I hear it right, it's your first advice is to film yourself, to compare, to check your technique, your form, et cetera. And
would be the second step. The first step for me would be developing a good foundation, a good base level strength, because it's the handstand in itself isn't really that different to any other form of push-up. It's an advanced form of push-up if you think about it. So the key to getting to it would be developing sufficient levels of shoulder strength. So when we're talking about shoulder strength, I'm not just talking about the muscles, I mean ligament strength, because when it comes down to anything calisthenics, the stronger your ligaments and your joints are, the easier time you're going to have. Otherwise, you're going to run into problems. Then focusing on technique. So having good levels of strength through just basic work would be the first step. Because then you have, I like to think of it as you have more to work with. Like, I mean, in bodybuilding, they did the comparison. You have clay and then you mold what you want, but you do it with your body. For me, in Cali, it's like the more base work you do, the more you are capable of trying out, if you will. So in my case, it was, I had a lot of base work with pushing, so push-ups. I did a lot of push-up workouts, which sounds really stupid and basic, but yeah, a lot of push-up work with the workouts. And then slowly just incorporating that into the handstand. And believe it or not, time.
Yeah.
Time. It's one of those frustrating things, but the progression that I found in Cali, it's pretty linear at the beginning. And it's once that connection is made between your base level strength and the skill, then all of a sudden you can just do so much more. So that would be my advice, is get a good foundation and then refine it as much as you can.
Okay, because that's really interesting, especially in today's social media world for calisthenics athletes, where everybody has a full planche after 3 months, and it's a lot of really pushing hard, high standards, no days off, no rest, you know, like.
Yeah, I actually think that's kind of toxic in terms of what is training. And fitness in itself, it's social media doesn't help. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, it really doesn't. I mean, especially when you start seeing athletes just constantly one-upping every single time, it kind of takes away the basic concept of everyone needs to progress at their own rate and listen to their own body and do their own thing.
Yeah.
Constantly seeing people with the next move is kind of difficult to calm yourself down and not be like, I need to train. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Because people always ask, for how long did you only do basics when you began?
How long did I only do basics? Well, because I started a long time ago. When I started, I mean, if you look at like old competitions from like 2013, 2014, the skill sets were pretty low. we weren't talking like crazy moves or anything like that. So my priorities were not that of like planching or anything like that. Like I was thinking more along the lines of like, I don't know if you know the Barbarians.
Yeah.
Like back in the day.
Yeah.
That was kind of like how I was, my mentality towards training back then. It was, I was really thinking about just crazy numbers and reps.
Okay.
Rather than crazy skills, because it just wasn't even in part of the game at that point.
Was it just a side effect? So like trying out a back lever or front lever and it just works, or?
Yeah. It contrary to gymnastics, I think the one thing about street workout, if you will, that kind of like sets it apart is getting to the next level, getting a new move is highly emotional. From what I can see, it's very much like, I mean, that's why you've got like in the South American community, you've got like Candela, you know, Everyone's screaming for that 720. Like, you got Tony Muscle up.
Yeah, Tony.
He's crazy. The energy that he brings, and if you go to competitions, you just see the energy, and it's very emotional the way you unlock new things. Whereas, like, I'd say gymnastics is a lot more form based. Mm-hmm. Like, you're told when you're going to go to the next move. Whereas in Cali or street workout, I would say you feel it.
Yeah,
you feel you're ready. You know, you try out a progression. You're like, oh, that was easy. I'm gonna try the real thing now.
Okay, that's really interesting, because it really seems like the healthy approach, not to sacrifice your ligaments and tendons for quick progress and for the quick straddle planche that you can post on Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm also on the other end of that spectrum, because I've been on both sides.
Okay.
You know, understanding what it means to, you know, just be like, I saw him do it, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then being like, I saw him do it, but he's also completely different to me. He has a different training background. He has different nutrition. He has different everything. He's not dealing with injuries. Don't compare. Stick to what you do.
Do you want to tell us more about this phase of your life when you had like this comparison to others? Because I think it's quite hard if you're like really, you have high standards for yourself, but you still see all the other athletes are performing on a really high level and progressing fast.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what advice I could give to those out there that are feeling the same.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a learning curve. It's not something that you just click straight away and you're just like, whatever. With experience, I've come to find that it's more along the lines of, it's when you ultimately are just living your life and you realize that the things that you see, if you didn't see them, well, would you still be doing things like that? That's the biggest question that I try to ask myself when I see something and I get like, oh, I gotta do. Mm-hmm. I stop myself for a second and think, okay, well, is this what I would have done if had I not seen it at that time? When I answer myself honestly with that question, then I can 100% say that's when you'll find out if you really, really want to do it, or you're just pressuring yourself because you saw someone else doing it. And it's being honest with yourself, really, because half of the time it's ignoring part of it and just going for, you know, the showmanship side of things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird comparison. It just came to head, but it's a weird comparison. I remember seeing a very cool video on Instagram, which had nothing to do with calisthenics or anything like that, but it's the same mentality. It was about the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
How everything went out of stock. Everyone went crazy. Everyone was continuously going crazy until one guy came out and said, yo, just wait. It's going to come out in a couple of weeks. It has to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that thing. Like, it, honestly, if you ask yourself the question, honestly, are you really that bothered by it? And if you are, then do something about it. If you're not, then just keep doing what you do, because your rate is always going to reach better results. And if you look back and you look at all the other athletes out there that have done things and really gone far in their sport, a lot of them tend to just stick to themselves. Especially when it comes to, you know, preparing for whatever they released or whatever, you know, the content that they released, they don't really, you know, publicly announce things or, you know, talk about it too much. They just stick to themselves. They stick to their own lane. And then when they do release it, that's when you realize, that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to summarize it all, I mean, if you want to look at the athletes that you admire, you'll see that a lot of the athletes that you admire tend to just try and do things their own way.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to copy the next guy. I mean, it's hard on Instagram because, you know, you got the post thing where everyone does the same post or whatever it is. But in terms of training, I mean, I can say from knowing these guys, no one really does what everyone else does. They stick to their own guns, they stick to their own game, and they're very honest to themselves when it comes to how to progress. I guess it comes to experience as well. Knowing yourself a little bit, knowing how far you can go, how far you can really take it, and if it really is what you want to do.
That's true. And it also reminds me of the, like, I don't know if you know these quote pictures or something where there is somebody running behind somebody else. And it's saying, like, if you focus on, like, winners focus on themselves and the others focus on winners, you know, like if you yep. have somebody else in mind, you won't put the energy and the focus on developing your own style, finding exactly. inner strength and yeah, special things, you know, like,
because
yeah.
when in the end of the day the drive comes from you. If you find that drive from someone else, then at some point it might fade.
Yeah,
because I mean, when it comes to looking for idols or looking for people to look up to, it always comes and goes.
Yeah.
It comes external. And goes, but if you yeah exactly if you look for the internal, that's always going to stay.
That's true. That's wise words. Yeah.
And, thank you.
I think people will appreciate it. What I'm interested in, on your opinion on the question, what do you think makes you like as successful as you are? Is it your training method? Is it your personality? Is it your genetics? Like what makes you successful in your career as an athlete, as an influencer, you know?
Yeah. An honest answer to that question would be, it would be depending on the people that follow me. Because mm-hmm. in the end of the day, I stick firmly to, I'm just myself. If I was just going to attribute it to something, I'd say it was the fact that I do things a little bit differently from everyone else. And that, for example, the anime thing might speak to a lot of people. I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, you see it everywhere in training. There's somewhere, there's a little bit of anime in someone in most areas of training. Maybe the style, the hair, that kind of stuff. If anything, I would definitely say the physique.
Mm-hmm.
My physique is definitely something that is probably attributed to my growth. More than anything, is because way back in the day, I always hated the idea of having a physique and not being athletic,
mm-hmm.
or not showing the physique. You know what I mean? If you have your superhero physique, then at least do superhero things to a certain degree, or at least try.
Yeah.
Don't just, you know, have a physique for the sake of having a physique, because mm-hmm. that's not exactly mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's probably be my physique, because it wasn't when I first came like onto the scene. I guess super lean physiques wasn't exactly normal for calisthenics. It was sort of kind of like a bodybuilding thing. When you saw someone that was really lean, it wasn't normal to see someone look like a men's physique guy that did Cali. I think Max True is one of the other guys that did men's physique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Or something so. Like that. Yeah,
he did some bodybuilding competition some month ago. Yeah,
yeah. So you'll find that it's like it's not something that there are some athletes that have really good physiques in calisthenics, and there are some that don't. But I think it's definitely the physique thing.
Okay,
more than the skills, definitely not the skills, because there are some really skillful guys out there.
That's interesting that you think that, but yeah, I'll come back to this later. Do you think everybody can have the physique that you have?
To a certain degree, yes and no. I mean, it's impossible to say what people are going to look like based on genetics. I can say for certain there are probably people out there that might look better than me because of the bone structure. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, when I competed in men's physique, I was in IFBB amateur, and you can really see genetics plays a part in that mm-hmm. sense. So to say, can you look like someone? Can you do this? Like, that's, in my opinion, it's a very bad way of looking at it. It's more working towards having a similar sort of look.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100% possible. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I would say that's 100% possible. It's not easy, and it requires patience, a lot of it, and a certain degree of insanity. I would say that it would be lying of me to say that there isn't a certain degree of insanity in a lot of these athletes when they go at the highest level, because I think C.T. Fletcher said it best, you got to be a little bit crazy to be good at what you do.
Yeah.
So it's 100% possible, but it's depending on how much you're willing to put into it, like how much you're willing to tolerate the pain, the discomfort, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. If we're talking about discomfort, what does your typical week look like? How does your workout schedule look like? How does your profession look like? Like just a normal, regular week?
I mean, it has changed quite a bit in the last couple of months due to two reasons. The obvious one being Corona. And the next one being due to Corona, my inability to move around so much. Mm-hmm. It's basically made it harder for me to train. I was a personal trainer, which made it very hard. Mm-hmm. I had to completely scratch that. Right now, a typical week of mine would be training at around 2, like midday, because it's usually the quietest time. Mm-hmm. And it's also getting cold as fuck at the moment. I really hate this. I used to train 6 times a week, and the split would be basically whatever I felt was okay. So whatever wasn't tired. Now I go for about 4 times a week. I give myself a little bit more rest in between due to dealing with other issues, trying to start my own company, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, in the end of the day, you can work out your entire life, but got to deal with life too. So
yeah,
a typical day would be that, training, working on some projects, doing some design ideas with my girlfriend, and looking after my dog.
Nice.
Right now it's pretty chill.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. So you don't do online coaching right now?
I find online coaching difficult to grasp because of the time I spent as a personal trainer, you know, the time I spent actually being with the client and, you know, the intricacies of each person, how to successfully get them to one from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. It's for me, just on a moral level, it's really hard to just write some numbers down on a piece of paper. I'm not criticizing anyone that does that because yeah, it's each their own, but unless I can provide something that I have complete faith in, it's very hard for me to write any kind of program or nutrition guide because I don't know the person that's getting it. Therefore, I don't know the results that they're going to be getting. Okay. And when I started personal training, I was very much about the personal side of it because it is something very, very beautiful if you do it right. You know, if you can really change someone's life if you do it right. So no programming for me for now, not until I figure out how to do it properly.
Okay. Get it. And concerning your workout, do you also work out legs or is it just not?
I have to. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I've got a hernia post-operated. Yeah, I've already had an operation. It came back out. Mm-hmm. If I don't train legs, I suffer immensely.
Okay.
It's my glutes are highly connected to my lower back. So, mm-hmm. You know, if I go and I just decide to planche every day or do Cali every day where, you know, there's an extreme level of compression going on in my spine and I don't look after my legs, which takes away some of the weight from my lower back, mm-hmm. I suffer. I definitely suffer immensely from that, you know, not being able to bend over properly, let alone doing calisthenics.
Okay.
It's just living at that point. So I do train legs. I think every time I train, I do a little bit of legs. I go about 60%, just do a little bit just to keep my legs moving. Get a lot of mobility.
Okay. And where did it come from? Because people also asked about the injury.
The hernia, it's a long story. It's been around for a while. The first time it came about was in rugby. Mm-hmm. I tackled a big fat fuck and shouldn't have done that. I picked him up. I was a bit angry and I tackled him. Mm-hmm. And he was 120 kilos and it was very painful. It came from a match. it wasn't like an immediate thing. It was just gradually over time, I started feeling pain. It got worse and worse and worse and worse. Until one day it just slipped out. And that was about 6 years ago. And after that, it was 2 years of doing what I could. And oddly enough, it was handstands. Handstands was the only thing I could do that wasn't actually pressuring my lower back as hardcore, because front lever, you got up and down, punch, mm-hmm. you got up and down. Mm-hmm. And handstands, I was, as long as I kept my core tight, I was good. And then when I got that operated on, that was 1 year of recovery. I should have probably taken longer in retrospect, because mm-hmm. I felt pretty good. I was back into training, everything was fine, but the my spine in itself wasn't ready yet, and something, a mistake happened, and it slipped out again. Mm-hmm. But it's been about 8 years that I've had that injury.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all right. It's at that point, you can't really complain about it. There's no point. You know, at that point, just live your life and try and smile as much as you can.
You're impressive, because first of all, I didn't know that, like 29, you said, 29 years old.
Yep.
That's impressive for me. like no front, but like 20, okay. 29 years. It's always, for me, it's impressive. Like seeing your physique, I didn't think that you're 29 years old.
That's actually something that's kind of funny, because the fact that I chose the natty route, this is something that's happening around my area quite a bit. Oh God. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of people my age look a lot older. Mm-hmm. Because they decided to go down a different route when it came to their physiques. So yeah, if I look younger, it's I decided to stay the natural way. So yeah.
Okay. Because that was also a question that we received. It's really funny, you know, like we have some athletes where it's asked, and I think, okay, but I still wanted to ask you, because I know that you can, you talk about
explain it.
Yeah, you can explain it. And yeah, do you take steroids?
I do not take steroids. I have never taken steroids. A lot of people think that I have, to be honest, these days it's pretty fucking weird when it comes to that kind of subject. You've got films like Generation Iron coming out where she's all these YouTube channels like Natty or Not, this, that, the other. I've been throwing so many opinions around on how to judge people. The end of the day, you don't know the person until you know the person. I mean, you can look for signs, sure. But for me personally, I never wanted to or never really saw the need for it. A, because if I took anything, I would probably die. I was already that lean. Mm-hmm. I mean, like realistically, I was like, I mean, when it comes to that kind of stuff, like for example, being tall and lean and not that big is completely plausible. It's something that you can do. Mm-hmm. It's when size comes into the equation. When you get like that mass and whatnot, and yeah, it's just a really tricky subject, to be honest. It's getting even more tricky as the days goes on, because like, okay, first of all, when it comes to calisthenics, me personally, I haven't done much research onto it, but from what I can tell, based on what I've seen in bodybuilding, it would be completely counterintuitive to what I do. Mm-hmm. I'd get bigger, which I don't really want to get bigger. And from what I've seen and know of, your muscular strength increases, but your ligament strength doesn't. Mm. Mm. So street workout in itself being so, you know, joint and ligament strength based, how many athletes can you see out there that are the skinny guys, but then you see them doing insane things and it's just like, that guy's got strong shoulders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That guy's got some strong shoulders. They're not big, but they're strong.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would be stupid. It would literally be stupid at that point, because, you know, if you push yourself and push yourself and push yourself and your muscles are getting the strength, but your joints are not, and then all the moves that you're doing are based around your joints, then you're just going to be snapping left, right, and center.
Yeah.
It's just not, I don't know. It's not something I think is necessary.
That's true. Yeah, if you think it that way, that's really interesting. I had to laugh really when Max Drew told me that he's asked what kind of steroids he takes. Like people just
not
ask
if he does, just what he does. Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was funny.
Hey, bro, can you recommend me one? I'm looking for a friend, you know, like.
yeah, just some guy I know. He's looking to be really lean, kind of like you. Just for a friend. Like I said, it's one of those things where it's just like. You're getting so many of these natty or not, it's just becoming super easy for people to just pigeonhole. Like, oh, good physique, boom, he's in the performance enhancement. Oh, not so good physique, but he's strong. And we don't think of it. But the fact is that if you look into American football, you got linebackers, they're big boys, they got some body fat in them.
Yeah.
I think it's a well established fact that in American football, people, take performance enhancement drugs. So it's kind of like basing it off the physique is a misconception. Mm-hmm. Totally a misconception. You've got people pulling out ridiculous numbers in whatever it is. They don't necessarily have a six pack. So to relate the physique with, performance enhancement, I'd say that's just making an easy excuse for yourself mentally. Not, really going into training, understanding what it is. It's just making an excuse like, he's that. So yeah, I in the Max True comment was pretty funny. Actually, I like that. It's a funny comment.
Yeah,
but some people just don't care. I swear to God, no. The level of respect when it comes to saying things to people is just slowly dropping. Yes,
it's just on the internet, I guess. Like, I don't know if you also visit some events and stuff like that. I think that there
never
are no
in the events.
No,
never.
Wow. Okay.
In the events, everyone is super nice.
Yeah, really, that's what I thought. Really,
yeah.
What I thought, like on an event, nobody comes to you and says, "Hi, Mike, I'm Phil. Do you take steroids? Can you recommend me with some?"
I mean,
nobody does that.
It happened to me once with Jay Spartan.
Oh,
okay. Small Spartan. And because we're friends, and when I was living in the UK, he hated that I was training so much. Oh, this is when I was really taking it seriously, like 7 days a week, nonstop, bam, bam, bam. And, injuries are getting pretty bad. So he was like, "Bro, come with me. We got to go to Virgin. We're going to go to the sauna." So I was like, "All right." And then I went with him to the sauna, and we were in there, and some guy just literally walked in and said, "Hey guys, what do you take?" Cause it was me and Jay, both lean Cali guys. And he came in with these, bodybuilder style. And we were just like, what? It was awkward because it was in a sauna too. We were all wearing towels. It's like, yeah, I've had that question before, but in a different circumstance entirely.
Okay. But still, nice story. Okay. yes, let's come back to training. People asked, to get some skills, like you also do some advanced skills like planche, front lever, how strong should one be to be able or to start training like tuck planche and straddle planche with band? Like, are there some numbers that you can say, or is it like 1 year basics and afterwards, and what can you tell the people?
Well, oddly enough, I wouldn't associate it with numbers. Like, I know a lot of people that can do super high reps in pull-ups or whatever it is, but when it comes down to, front lever, they actually can't do it at all. I'm actually one of those people, for example. I can do pull-ups, muscle-ups just fine, but due to injury, I can't do one-arm chin-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to those skills, I'd say the time to move on is when you feel comfortable. Like, it sounds really general and very hard to apply, but it's like, so when it comes to the tuck, if you lean forward and you feel it's comfortable to bring your legs in and you don't feel like you're going to fall on your face because you've done, enough leaning exercises, you've prepared your wrist, you prepared your shoulders to lock out a little bit and stuff like that. You've got a little bit of that mechanics going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, and you understand it, that's probably the best time to move into that area of, like, onto the next level, so to speak. It's it it's hard to explain. It's more of a feeling. Because when you're doing it, you know exactly what you're talking about, you know, what I'm talking about. When you're actually there and you're leaning forward and your feet kind of lift off the floor a little bit and you're like, okay, okay, I can lift my feet off the floor a little bit. That's something.
Yeah.
Like that's plop, plop. It's just starting. The move in itself is starting to develop because this is one thing I don't think a lot of people realize is Cali is a central nervous system sport. It's more than it is a physical sport. A lot of the times that I'm helping someone with a skill, I'll always say, get a feel for it. Get a taste of it. I don't care if you do it right. Get a taste for it. Because once, even if I'm helping you and you got the bands there, once you've felt it, once you've got a taste for what it feels like to do it right, something in the brain, I don't know if it just clicks, but then after that, all the progression work towards it, just it seems more like, there's an objective that you're working towards. Like, you know the feeling that you're working towards. So biggest tip would be just try.
Okay.
Try. Don't obviously don't go and try and do a one-arm flag if you've never done a one-arm handstand. That would be a bit of an exaggeration. But like, I mean, if you want to know if you can planche, maybe lean and then see what happens when you keep your arms straight, your core straight, and your glutes tense, and maybe your legs will start to lift up. Then you start getting the taste for it, and then you go, okay, I can try the band now, put it around my waist. Oh, that was comfortable. I can try a tuck, no bands, that kind of stuff. It's whenever you go, ah, okay, that wasn't as difficult as I thought, I'll do the next thing.
Okay. So basically also listening to your body and trying out.
It's real trial and error, especially with Cali. It's like I said, we don't have gymnastics.
Yeah.
We have the template.
Yeah.
But we don't have the systems that they use.
Do you think this is the main difference between Cali and gymnastics?
100%. That and age. Like, I mean, you got kids in gymnastics start from a much younger age, and the emphasis is on different aspects. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about strength or anything like that. They're highly mobile, quite explosive as well. I think they train a lot of plyometrics from a young age. Coordination is just ridiculous for kids those age. I mean, if you've ever seen kids in gymnastics places, it's just, it makes adults just go, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a couple of kids doing straddle planche presses and they were like 5.
Wow.
Which just blew my mind. I didn't even know that was physically a thing. So yeah, I think that's the biggest difference, is that the age that which they start at is they the move is built into them so much earlier. So that whole time aspect is just, they start as kids. But you're seeing it a lot more now in Cali.
Younger kids start younger.
And now the 18, 20, I mean, Vitaly from Ukraine.
Yeah, Melnik.
He's on a different level. And he's one of the guys that started from very, very, very young age.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting that, like, there was also another athlete who said it in the interview that the main difference between calisthenics and gymnastics is the age to start with, which I'm thinking, is there no professional gymnast who started in an older or age? Or
I think there is, but I can't remember. If there was, he wasn't a gold medalist. That much I can say. Like, he was competent, probably. But I would never put them in, like, a gymnastic competitive sense. Because from what I can tell now, they all start from a young age. And they just continue down that route. But then again, they also retire really early, too.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Let's talk about some PRs from you. Do you sometimes some max outs, pull up, max dips?
So I haven't done any PRs for weighted stuff in a while because of my back.
Yeah.
except for handstand push-ups.
So just the basic stuff. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I'd say with handstand push-ups, my PR for reps is, what was it? I didn't film it, which was really irritating, but it was like 33. I think it was 33.
Wow. That's why you sent me the battle of YouTube. Yeah.
When I saw that video of it, I was like, I want to do that too. It was about 33, but I did it. I don't do the in a certain amount of time. I see how many I can do in one go. And I think 33 is my max at the moment. Mm-hmm. When it comes to holding statics, weighted stuff like that, everything was better before my hernia, but now it's sort of like at a nice even level. Mm-hmm. I can't really push it for health reasons. Weighted dips, I think I'm at 70 kg. Anything after that, next day I'm not walking. pull-ups, 50 kg for 3 reps. But then even then, I don't want to train them very much because it's very, very detrimental to my back. I mean, you have to imagine I'm pulling up while I've got weight coming down. It's pretty gnarly. And before that, I had this thing because of my rugby days that out of pride, I needed to do my squats and my deadlifts, even if I have my hernia. So I wouldn't go crazy with the weights and I would only do it on a day that felt good. But currently 160 for the deadlifts and 120 for the squats. Wow. Anything after that and I'm done.
Okay.
But I definitely don't do PRs. PRs would destroy me at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Get it. And makes sense. Do you do max reps pull-ups with body weight?
Yeah. My max reps at the moment is clean or mm-hmm. with a bit of kipping. Clean is, it was like 35.
And a little bit of kipping.
Oh, a little bit of kipping. I went up to like 50 something.
50. Wow.
But with a bit of kipping. Yeah. And that was, I attribute all of that to grip more than anything else, because in the end of the day, the thing that's going to leave you fastest is your grip.
Yeah.
The amount of times that I've just been frustrated as hell, just holding onto the bar going, I literally can't move my hands. Like, I couldn't even let go of the bar properly. I knew that if I did anything, they were stuck. They were like locked into place because of the pump. I was like, oh crap. So dips I'm pretty good at. Dips have always been good because of the handstand training. My PR for that was 80 at one point. And I haven't really trained it since due to facilities. I haven't got any facilities around me to really work on my dips.
Okay. So right now you would do some home workouts with push-ups, or how do you train?
Yeah. Right now my training consists mostly in using the bands mm-hmm. and advanced form of push-ups.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Straddles, planches, all that kind of stuff. Now hopefully I'll be able to install a pull-up bar coming up, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then I could work on my reps again.
Nice. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
I hate seeing all these back workouts where they use a towel and
yeah,
it's just not realistic. If you're going to be working your back, one of the best things to do is pull-ups. It's just as simple as that. I hate seeing all these silly back workouts. It's like, no, just do some pull-ups, bro.
Yeah, that's true. We already talked about injuries, but your nutrition, that's something that people asked about. And how do you stay so lean? What do you eat?
Sorry, I just had to laugh to myself a little bit because it's just the awareness of how many people have talked about the subjects and the things that they've said and just how much of it is just like making easy excuses to not have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So nutrition wise, honestly, I don't eat that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I do fast to a certain degree. So there's three aspects of my dieting which helped. And then the final aspect, which is consistency. Because that is definitely the one thing. Because one thing about dieting is it's a terrible concept if you think about it, because a dieting is a set amount of meal and set amount of calories and set amount of everything. And it's not a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's just following orders. And eventually you can't follow those orders, you know, every single day. So for me, more than anything else, it's A, I restrict my calorie intake to basically around my workout, mm-hmm. and then after my workout, because that's really kind of when it matters. So a typical day would be wake up, have a coffee, don't eat anything. Maybe an hour or two before I train, I'll eat very simple carbs and proteins. Mm-hmm. Nothing with too many complicated fats or anything, like really simple shit. Oats and proteins, basically, because I don't want to mess with the rate of absorption. I just want that energy for that workout. Done.
Okay.
After my workout, again, calories, keeping it to the macros that I know I need, and waiting it out, having a good dinner. Also, having the right supplementation. I don't understand why people are so nitpicky with supplementation. Especially when you've got things like extracts, you know, just straight up extracts, or, you know, tea, green tea extract or ashwagandha extracts and stuff like that. You know, having the understanding supplementation and understanding when to take certain things to benefit from the most, I think that's essential. So for me personally, I like to do a lot of anything that's not thermogenics, but like green tea, coffee, anything that boosts my metabolism in the morning. I'll take that when I'm fasting, 100%. That isn't like that's not an argument for me. I've been doing that for years now, years. Mm-hmm. Then when it comes to training, you know, understanding pre-workout is definitely a help, because you know low body fat energy levels are kind of whack for me. So pre-workout definitely helps in keeping me. Right, having a normal energy level, because otherwise it's about 10 minutes of activity and I'm just like, okay, I'm done, bye.
Really?
Yeah. It's if I'm at a very low body fat percentage, then yes, I find it very easy to do things, but I run out of energy really quick unless I ate before. Mm-hmm. So nutrition wise, I'd say I definitely provide for the moment. That's really how it's been, and it's been like that for a long time. Like a long time, like 10 plus years. So it's giving my body what it needs, when it needs it, and being consistent as fuck, like really consistent to the point of it hurt, as you can tell. It does hurt. It does physically hurt when your body's saying, no, don't do this. Like, don't restrict yourself so much. Mm-hmm. We need this, we need that. At that point, it's just a question of, you know, do you mentally want it enough? Because the body will do it, whether you like it or not. It adapts. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. The body adapts. So at first it might complain, then it'll get used to it. And once you've made it like a habit, and then that's it. So yeah, my nutrition would be intermittent fasting, timing my meals around when I need the calories. Mm-hmm. And not dieting, just understanding nutrition itself, understanding macronutrients. No, I'm not going to say eat clean all the time, because that's stupid. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that's dumb.
Okay.
I hate it when people say that. Yeah, eat clean, eat clean, eat clean. I ate clean for a long time, and I can tell you that you're going to find it so hard to get results if you just eat clean.
Like, why?
It's because the amount of calories that you get from clean food is so much less than it is from junk food, that every now and then having that, you know, shot of sugar or shot of cheat, I guess you can call it. Even then, if you want to call it a cheat meal, you can just go to a restaurant and have a really dope meal. That can be considered a cheat meal, because they're going to be using butter, all these other kind of things. Like, they're going to cook a proper meal for you. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to be limited. So cheat meals are necessary just because they have A, higher calories, B, there's a greater variation of macronutrients, and C, because it's just not a realistic thing to eat clean all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not realistic at all. You don't have a life. I mean, I when I did that, I didn't feel like I had a life. I was doing a family event and just being like, yeah, can I have my fucking bodybuilding meal or something like that? Like, nah, I want to eat cool food, nice food. Just in those cases, make sure that whatever you're eating is going to be for something, you know?
Yeah.
It's not difficult. It's more of a, I mean, the analogy, the famous analogy is the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you think your body is a car, the fuel that you put in should be the fuel that you use. Why would you put in more fuel than what you're going to use in a car?
Yeah.
It just overflows after that.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my biggest tips in nutrition. Okay. And how I eat, basically.
How often do you do cheat meals right now? Do you have some, is it regularly now, or is it just when you...
Now
when
it's
you...
more, definitely more regular. I would say it's definitely more regular because food is comfort. I mean, I'm lean and I'm the first person to say that food is comforting as hell.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good. So when it comes to cheat meals, I guess whenever I train, I'll have a cheat meal because most of the time I'm keeping it pretty restricted if I'm not training because I don't need the calories that day. If I do train, I will train as hard as I can for 2-3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll earn that cheat meal. So to speak, like I'll earn the surplus of calories. I'll make sure that my body's in a state where it's just like, yo, just give me shit. I need stuff to repair now. Come on, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it just feels better after that as well. You know, you enjoy it more. And it's another thing I disagree with as well. It's like the need to post a cheat meal as if it's like you're saving grace or like you're doing so good having a cheat meal. No, you're not. You're just having fun eating, bro.
Okay. Get it. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Makes definitely sense. Do you have like, do you follow any, I don't know, vegetarian, vegan, only good meat diet, nutrition?
Well, for me,
I didn't say it.
Diet, nutrition. Yes and no. I mean, you said vegan, and then the only thing that occurred to me was that I would go over vegan powder, protein powder,
mm-hmm.
Any day of the week over whey or anything like that, because I'm not a fan of drinking protein. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's natural, so to mm-hmm. speak. Like, it's not something that you would naturally do, is just drinking a high amount of protein in a shake.
Yeah.
How often in the world are you going to see that? For me personally, it's more of eating it. I like to eat it. Doesn't mean I do anything different. So in terms of anything special, I use vegan protein powder because you can cook it. That's basically it. You can cook with vegan protein powder, and I like eating my... you know, meals. I don't want to drink. Just not satisfying.
Okay.
But no, I don't follow anything in specific. No.
Okay. Get it. Yeah. Then a lot of people asked about your friendship with Daniels. You know, like because the
Lil Big B.
Yeah.
I call him Lil Big B because he's huge compared to me. So.
Okay. Yeah. So, because I also really enjoyed the video series that you did together. I don't
Thank
know.
You.
Was it in Spain when he visited you?
Yeah, or? Yeah, yeah. It was here. It was here in Spain.
That's like, and people asked, yeah, what is it like your friendship? Let's start with this question.
So, friendship is pretty much. I would say it's like. You know, you have like your levels of friends, and then you got that one friend who's so close that he's kind of like a family member, and they don't seem as close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that basically. Wow. So I call him my little brother. He calls me big bro. And it's quite literally like a little brother, big bro relationship. Like he does his thing. I do my thing. Yeah, we're close friends. We talk, and we were going to do more video content, but then Valencia got shut down. So that sucked.
Okay.
Because he was supposed to be coming over, I think, November, December, these 2 months. and yeah, he wasn't able to, which really it sucked because I miss him as a little bro. But yeah, if anyone has any doubts in his videos, just check his wrists. He's wearing Saiyan Pride every video. So
okay,
that's yeah, the relationship is like a little brother big brother relationship. So we were definitely pretty tight when he came over. Like a good connection was established.
And you know each other from social media, right?
Oh, we met each other through like I guess a bit of a freak accident. Okay. So he came over to Valencia
in the sauna.
Yeah, no, he was the guy that asked us about steroids in the sauna. He was like, "Hey guys, hey you and Jay." He covered himself in all the mist, and he was like, "What do you guys take?" Nah, he showed up in Valencia with Tom Rosenberg 3 years ago, something like that. I don't know. And he was living with Luis Becker,
mm-hmm.
Who at the time competing, all this kind of stuff. And they wanted to meet up. Well, we all met up at the park, and we didn't know how or why people found out about Daniel's going to the park, but I was there training, and then suddenly it just got packed.
Mm-hmm.
It was just packed. And I'm like, oh God, it's, and then I text my friend, is Daniel supposed to be coming to the park today? Yes. Okay. So as the intermediary, so like not giving a crap that he had a following, because for me, if you eat, breathe, and shit the same as me, I don't understand why I need to be treating you like, oh. So for me, it was like, hey, bro, what's up? There's a lot of people over there. Are you ready for this? And so, yeah, we kind of vibed after that. Like, it was a good connection. And then eventually he needed a place to stay. And I was like, yo, do you want to stay at my place? And yeah, that's basically just what happened.
Wow.
So we didn't even know each other before that. It was just, I happened to be the only guy that spoke English.
Okay.
So, yeah, I spoke English. We had a lot of things in common. And then that's, the rest is on YouTube, I guess.
Okay. Nice. Sounds really good. And yeah, YouTube. Will you ever do YouTube? People yes. were asking about your YouTube career. How does it look like?
Yeah. It is something that has to happen. I want it to happen. It has to happen. I've got everything ready for it to happen. I think the only thing right now is fear is almost paralyzing to me because of not knowing the current ocean of social media. Yeah, I don't know what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in hindsight, yeah, I'm kicking myself a little bit for not coming out earlier and doing a YouTube video because it would have been so much easier. But now that it's kind of like a requested thing and I'm not unaware of it, I'm very aware of it. It is going to come soon, very soon. It's just finding out, you know, what to say,
mm-hmm.
Finding out what kind of content people not are looking for, but what they want to see from me more than anything else. And yeah, I want to do it. So it's my content, obviously. So it's what I put out. But at the same time, you know, it's always good to have an idea of what's going on around, you know, that little world in YouTube, what people are doing, because it's a strange world from what I can tell. And yeah, right at the moment in time, fear is paralyzing me, not knowing, but it is something that I have to do.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
I'm very honest when I say things. So I don't care if saying fear is paralyzing me because there's 100% there's people out there that have the same situation that they can't, that they want to do something, they need to do something, they have to do something, but it's just the fear about them. It's just, it paralyzes them somehow. And I don't want to be like, yeah, I'm some kind of superhero that doesn't experience those things. Yeah, we all experience those things. And right now, that's fine.
Well, okay. Yeah, I can just tell you, people are asking for a transformation video. And
they will never get that because I am too old and I never took pictures back in the day. There's like a couple of pictures here and there, but I mean, it's the same thing. Have you seen those annoying meme ones where it's just like some guy posts a picture of a sperm?
Yeah.
And then himself when he's 20?
Yeah.
It's like, this is my 20-year transformation. Like, I mean, if I wanted to, I could post a 10-year picture from when I was like 12 years old.
That's cool.
And say, this is me at 29. But then it has nothing to do with anything. So, I mean.
The best transformations are always like how I developed from 30 kilos at 8 years old to, I don't know, 70 kilos at 60.
I've seen some of them and they, you know, people are just like, yeah, good job, bro. And I'm like, good job on growing up.
Yeah.
It's like saying a transformation video when, like, for example, if there's a picture of you as a kid and then all of a sudden there's a picture of you with a beard. Here's my transformation video. Yo, you definitely look older.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't think there'll be a transformation video. And if you need proof of that, if you just scroll on my Instagram all the way down to 2013, there's very few times where you'll see me changing. Like, I think the only time I physically changed was when I got an operation, like on my back. That was because I was in a hospital bed for 2 months. So,
okay.
Understandable.
Yeah. Like, one thing that I can tell you, a first video with an FAQ would be cool because people can, you can get a sense of what people want. Maybe do like a question sticker like we had. I bet you will receive, I don't know, 500, 1,000 questions. Then you can pick the best.
Oh God. Yeah.
10.
Just thinking of how many times I'm going to get said, plunge tips, bro.
Yeah, plunge tips, bro. Shout, give me a shout out, bro. Yeah.
Did you get those?
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Daily. Okay. Also a question that I'm also really interested in. What role does anime play in your life?
That's a bomb of a question. What role does it play? Damn. I'll try and simplify it as much as I can. It's, I mean, a lot of people think that it's really childish for someone my age to be into anime. And that's also not understanding what I like about it. You know, there's being a fan and then there's being something called an otaku, which is like, basically imagine like a Super Marvel fan. Mm-hmm. That kind of guy. Okay, so for me, anime is more than anything. It's a really good point of reference to just morals, certain morals. Yeah. It's because it's so easy to see. It's so simplified. There isn't any text that complicates things. There's no ulterior motives. When you see the hero of the story, it's their intentions, their morale, their belief system, it's pure. You know, it's easy to find motivation in the way that they think, if that makes any sense. So that's probably why anime is easy for me to connect to, because it's emotional. I'm a highly emotional guy, so I'm more likely to, I find it easy to understand and easy to sort of absorb, if you will. It's also fun. You know, anime isn't real. It allows your mind to always see something past what you do. So yeah, sure. You know, I get, one of the funniest things for me was that when I started doing this Dragon Ball thing that people were like, no, bro, you can't fly. For real. I was getting people saying like, yo, you can't say this about anime because you can't shoot energy out of your hands. And I'm there going, I wasn't intending on doing that, but okay. The anime for me is just, it's a good, like I said, it's a good reference point for, you know, A, not chaining yourself down to what you see in human society. So like there's a little bit of freedom in there because it is a cartoon and because the belief systems, the way that these guys are, it's almost easy to apply to yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like when you see these guys just like striving for more, you can see that and you can be like, I can apply that shit to myself.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand the fucking screaming. I can understand the the rage, the anger. I can understand the need to protect other people, the want to protect other people. And yeah, it's not human. It's not like the real world. It doesn't work like that in the real world. You don't go screaming and, shout your special move and punch someone in the face and your family's safe. But in certain aspects, it is a good way of like motivating yourself to keep going, because in the end of the day, it's those raw emotions that they put forward. So that's my anime influence. That's why I find it very easy to relate to.
Okay, and your favorite is Dragon Ball, right?
Oh, no.
Not even, okay.
No, it's one of my favorites, that's for sure, because I grew up with it. I can't find anyone, or not anyone, but it's really hard to find people that didn't watch it as kids.
Yeah. These are the weird kids.
The ones who didn't watch it, you kind of go, I've always found that the people that really hate anime, or they really dislike it from a young age or whatever it is, they tend to be very serious people. But either way, I find it very difficult to find anyone that hasn't watched it as a kid. But me personally, I read it more than anything else.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a manga fan. The one I would recommend for a lot of people when it comes to training is Baki.
Okay.
Which is on Netflix. I wouldn't recommend the show. I'd recommend the reading it. It's cool because it opens your mind into possible ideas of training. It's realistic-ish, if you want to put it that way. And it just talks about training.
Okay.
It's just different ways of training the body.
I'll ask you afterwards if I don't find it for the people who want to look it. So who will want to check it, it's in the description. Okay. Is it I think it's connected to this one, like your hair color and your style in general. let's go to the point where you decided, I will color my hair, I want to look like an anime character.
I guess that would be answering another question, which is when the first time I got related to an anime character, because it didn't just happen. When I was in London doing Cali, it was one of the few, I had crazy blonde hair, crazy wild blonde hair. And I was doing Cali and everyone just like, yo, Super Saiyan, bruv. That was just like the start of it. It was as a joke, you know?
Okay.
And then from there, it was actually Daniels. Daniels was the one who recommended it, because he was like, it just suits you, bro. Like this whole anime thing. And so I switched my name to the Saiyan, and the white hair came about because it's actually three characters that I really like and they all have white hair. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to do the white hair thing. Goku did the Master Ultra Instinct, which was like the thing that made it famous was like Goku went silver hair. So whatever. Then Devil May Cry. I don't know if you know that game. Dante. Yeah. Dante was always been one of the coolest dudes to me. And God, who was it? Oh God, I can't remember his name. I do know his name, but I don't know. It's really obscure. It's another manga. It's another character that I really liked. He just had a very, very interesting way of looking at life, and I just thought his haircut was really cool.
Okay.
It really wasn't that complicated. It was just like, that's a cool haircut.
Okay.
Like I didn't have to look at like any reggaeton styles or anything like that nowadays and do that. And I just thought silver looked cool.
Nice. Interesting. That's really nice. And is Goku your favorite character from Dragon Ball?
He used to be.
But
he used to be, but like in Z, you have to know a bit about anime to know this, but in Z he was the goat. Like in Dragon Ball Z he was very cool. Then I don't know what happened, but then they came out with Dragon Ball Super, the last one that just came out, and they made him stupid.
Okay.
Like he's a bit dumber than usual. I want to fight. So actually I would say Vegeta is one of my favorite characters now.
Wow.
Because they made him a complete character.
Okay.
So, yeah, not that it has anything to do with calisthenics, but yeah, I like both of them. I like both of them, man. Don't make me choose.
Okay. I won't.
It's nice. Weird because then everyone calls me the Goku guy and I'm like, I don't even like him that much. No, I don't.
Nice. Yeah. And the last question before we jump to the quick questions, quick answers. What are the current goals that you're working on? What is something that you want to achieve in 2020 or maybe early 2021? You said that you're working on your company right now.
Yep. The same pride. It's something that I've been playing with for a while now, for 2 years. And hopefully in 2021, I'll have a few products to be able to release onto the market. Not something that's common in the calisthenics world, at least. That much I can say for certain. And goals? Well, one of them, as you've already said, it, YouTube. I think that's a pretty logical goal at this point. You know, with my age, to say, I want to hold a 40-second front lever. Let's focus on life now a little bit. YouTube, my company, Same Pride Fitness, and general health, actually, because I'm starting to realize that the more intense that I am now, I'm really starting to see, I'm going to feel this when I'm older, especially with the current injuries that I have. So it's more than anything, it's just looking after myself a bit more.
Okay.
Literally, it sounds anti everything I've just said, but at the end of the day, your physical well-being, if it's not there, then you can't do any of the things that I talked about.
True.
And mental. That's another thing. Nowadays, definitely have to focus on that. It's hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's true. Yeah. Good luck for these ones. I hope we'll see you soon on YouTube. Also, all the best with Saiyan Pride. And let's get to the serious questions. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Burger.
Okay. Maybe you answered already, but are you a dog or a cat person?
Both. Animal lover boy.
Okay.
Good. I have cats in my mom's house and I have dogs with me.
Okay. What's your favorite location for holidays?
Favorite location for holidays? I would say Spain. You just need to travel around Spain.
Okay.
Although I would love to go to Asia. Japan is number one. Out of Spain, I have to go to Japan.
You've never been there?
I'd love to. Never been.
Well,
have you?
No, not only China. But I also China showed me in a lot of things why I want to go to Japan, because Asia in general was really nice. Shanghai was really nice. I'm also really looking forward to Japan. I don't know if it's because of anime or just like that.
I think it's just everyone sees it from outside and just goes, wow. You're so clean.
That's true. Nice. What's the worst exercise for you? The nightmare exercise that you hate?
The minute would be one-arm pull-ups, because I can't do them.
Okay.
Because of shoulder operations when I played rugby, it's just something I can't do. So it's like, I'm annoyed. That move annoys me because I can't do it. I just go,
Okay, get it. Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete or a hero, or like we talked about it, about idols, etc., but still, is there any?
I have two or three people that I definitely highly rate. One is, he was basically my inspiration for all the push work that I was doing, Cy Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cy Monster for me is just, he's one of the goats of Cali.
Yeah.
I'm a very, very, very big fan of Vitaly Melnyk. I'm a big fan of his. I love his style. I really do. I think he's got what this sport needs, that next level. And on a not so common note, I very highly rate the Rosenberg twins.
Wow.
More than anything for mental reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I rate what they do mentally, you know, spreading positive energy, positive vibes. Like, I think they're really, it's healthy what they do. So yeah, those are my three big influences right now. Especially Dan. Dan is really pushing the positive stuff. I really enjoy his content at the moment.
That's great to hear. He'll be happy when he listens.
One last person. I didn't mention him, but he is sort of like a dark horse underground. He's from Israel. His name is Guy_DH. He works with Dan.
Yeah. Crazy video editing.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Like, in terms of where this sport needs to go, you've got Melnick on the style side, you've got Dan with mental, you've got Guy with the editing. I mean, it's just each person really brings their own aspect to it. But yeah, those are the four athletes I would say I really.
Well, they'll be happy when they listen to this. Nice.
Simon knows.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a favorite book?
Do I have a favorite book? Yes, I do. It's so nerdy that no one's gonna know it. Oh God, it's called Wizard's First Rule.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an old school book that my dad gave me. From way back in the day, and it's just good old fashioned fantasy stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll also ask you for the link for the nerdy people who are interested in that they can check in the comments. Nice. Best calisthenics event you've ever been at so far?
Battle of the Bars? Was it Battle of the Bars? WCO Battle of the Bars. It was actually the only event that I was part of. Oh crap. Now that I think about it, I am technically speaking a title winner. It was the only time they did the event. Yeah, like now that I think about it, like I did win a title. And holy crap. Wow. At the end of the interview, I'm like, oh yeah, I did. they did like a filler event where they did like a rap battle, the WCO. And I won that, which is cool. But it was definitely that event because that was when Daniels was competing against a pretty tough opponent. And he was wrecked. Like really, really, really just completely, he was so tired. So it was a pretty cool event for me because I remember him coming up to me and just like not even knowing what to, he couldn't even speak. He was so tired. Wow. I was just like, he was like, what to do? Like, what do I do? It's like, it's cool. Stay. You haven't made a mistake. Don't make any mistakes. Like, it was one of the only times I really felt like part of the event. Mm-hmm. So Battle of the Bars 2018 in the Body Power Expo.
Okay.
That was my favorite.
Nice. And then the last quick question. If you have to decide between reps and statics, what would you choose?
Reps.
Reps. Okay.
Reps you can do for the rest of your life.
Okay. Good.
I've seen a lot of old people do reps.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them is from Germany, right? God, what's his name? The guy who can do front levers.
Markus Lunibars.
Yeah. Markus.
Yeah.
he does reps.
Yeah.
So if you can keep it up for the rest of your life, that would be nice. You know.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to, like, I think Max said it, right? I want to be able to train with my kid.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
I think every guy out there that trains that has an idea of having a kid wants to say that.
Yeah. Well, an amazing interview. Thanks already a lot.
Sorry if it went off topic sometimes.
No, I'm really happy. And I know that people will appreciate it. It's 1.5 hours, which is a lot, but it was full of interesting topics, interesting stories. Thanks for sharing so much. The question before we come to an end is, how can people get in touch with you? How can they ask you stuff?
Just messaging me on Instagram. I go through my message requests quite frequently. So if it's a serious subject, then I definitely will, you know, address it straight away. There's some people come up to me with back problems and I try and help out as much as I can.
Great. Nice. We will put the link in the description for your Instagram page. And as soon, Mike, as you have YouTube, you send me the link, or you just tell me, and I put the link in the description. So everybody who listens to this till the end, I think they are quite big fans. Then they can check.
They
the
can
comments.
Definitely see that.
Yeah, and see your YouTube channel. Great. Yeah, we're coming to an end. Thanks a lot for your time, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thank you a lot for yours.
Thanks a lot to everyone listening to this till the end. It's 1.5 hours. It's like, really, for me, it's insane that people put this time
I'm
in it.
Sorry for dragging it out.
No, it's something positive. Really, it's something positive. I know, like, when we published the interview with Maieli from Italy, the people wrote, "Oh, why only 40 minutes or 45 minutes? Why so short?" And, you know, like, they will be happy, I think. And so,
I mean,
yeah,
a lot of people watch podcasts nowadays, so maybe that makes sense.
Yeah. And it will be on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, so they can also listen it. Just the audio. So yeah.
Well, I hope I entertain some people with my stories.
You entertained me. Thanks a lot. And if you liked this episode, you can like it, you can comment it, you can share it. This helps a lot. And Mike, you can end the episode. Say goodbye to everyone. I want to say thank you to everyone, and bye-bye.
See you guys, and thank you for listening. Peaceful.